BSB, some number. All right, today we're reviewing the Athletic mock draft that came out on Monday. You can go and check it out on theathletic.com. Link will be in the description of this podcast. And it has the New York Rangers picking number one, as you know. It'll probably not going to be a surprise to who they're picking. But before we get to that, Gregory, there's something I forgot to mention on the flagship show earlier this week, or rather yesterday, when that show came out.
Yes, yesterday.
Yes.
You forgot to mention it yesterday.
Yes, I forgot to mention it yesterday when we recorded it. Or two nights ago, whatever. At this point. I know we like to talk about Philadelphia, and we do. And I do live here now. Yep.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you positive?
Yep, I live here. And I had my moments. There are parts of Philadelphia I've really grown to like, especially in my neighborhood. I'll be honest. Some of the food.
Well, I stop paying attention.
I know. Some of it's good or whatever. We'll get to that. Here's the point. I really blew my mind. I actually had a full blown, like almost meltdown in the shop. I took a walk on Sunday, nice fall day, and I wanted to grab a slice of pizza in Philadelphia. Just real quick. I haven't tried to do this yet. You know, I've been here for 9 months, but I was like, today's the day. I'm going to grab a slice because I'm trying to find good slices of pizza in Philadelphia, which seems like the dumbest idea ever. Correct? I walked into a pizza place and the lady looked at me and I said, hi, I would like two slices and two garlic knots, please. And she said, we don't have garlic knots and we don't do slices. We just do whole pies. And I walked out. There you go. How do you not do slices? Is that just not is that only New York that does that?
I don't know. I definitely was able to order slices in Georgia.
Yeah. No, we don't do slices, and we don't carry Georgia garlic knots. Then you're not a pizza.
You don't carry garlic knots. You're not a pizza place.
Then you're not a pizza place.
What do they make? Deep dish?
No, it says it's regular pizza only, but you can only buy it by the pie, and it's tiny. I don't understand. I just wanted to complain about that because it blew my mind. And I know some of you will relate to me or maybe tweet me where I can actually get a good slice in Philadelphia, if that's even possible. So please help me. Some one of you, please. I'm begging. Because the idea of no garlic knots and no slices, why are you even open? Doesn't make any sense.
Are you even open?
Yeah. I think that was a ghost shop. All right. Let's get into, now that we've gone through that wonderful story, thank you all for sitting through it. Let's get through the mock draft. And I have some interesting feedback from this. So this is from Corey Prime, who we had on the show last week, put together a mock draft and pretty much had writers from The Athletic talk about what they thought about the picks. And our good friend Rick Carpinello goes over
the... pressed Rick on this, by the way.
I guess we should have. But you're going to be surprised. Alexi Lafreniere goes first overall.
What?
I know. Shocker. You know what's funny I thought about Rick that he said here? He said, while he's not considered on the talent level of Connor McDavid, he's not that far behind. Is that true?
Prospect status? I don't think he's that far behind McDavid.
I guess so. I guess talent-wise, he probably is. But everyone
is. Yeah, I think it's important to remember that, you know, before Connor McDavid became the Mike Trout of the NHL, he was once a prospect that we didn't know a lot about.
He was still so highly rated then, though.
Yeah, but if we're talking about purely like Connor McDavid when he was a draft prospect, I don't think Lafreniere is that far behind him. I don't think that's an inaccurate comment. But again, it does, by saying that, we're not saying that Lafreniere is going to become Connor McDavid. We're just saying that at the time of their appropriate drafts, the stock Lafreniere was probably 85 cents worth of what Connor McDavid's dollar was worth.
I guess. I was watching, I talked to you about this off air. There's this guy named Scouches. I know, right? We talk sometimes, very rarely. This guy named Scouching, a hockey stat miner, one of our favorite people on Twitter, retweeted him. And he does like a 20-minute breakdown. I kind of want to get him on the podcast of Alexi Lafreniere. And he grades in like a system where it's like 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D. And he pretty much has Lafreniere's, all of his talents in the one section, you know, like the ability, the skating, etc. And they're all in the lower, like 1C, 1D, 1B, like that. But I don't think he's like this generational defining prospect. He's not nearly in the same class as Sid or Crosby, Sidney Crosby or McDavid. But I don't know how far off he really is. But that's something I'm struggling with, is how, like, what are levels below he is from those players. I can't really figure it out.
You know what I found myself thinking about more? I wonder how much of the narrative has fogged our opinions of Lafreniere as being this great prospect, because we keep hearing just in general how great this draft is. Like, this is the one draft where if you have the 10th pick, it's not a bad spot to be in. In fact, you're probably going to get a normal draft's top 3 to 5 type talent, barely on the outside of the top 10. So, like, it is the fact that this draft is so good taking away from how singular we should be looking at Alexis Lafreniere? For example, like, Dahlin's draft year. The draft class was Rasmus Dahlin. Yes, there were good players in that draft, but it was very clearly Dahlin's draft. And while I think we all agree that this is Lafreniere's draft, it always feels like the second conversation we have in regards to the draft is, this draft class is phenomenal. And I just wonder if that's taking away from the amount of hype we're giving a singular talent like Lafreniere.
It has to be, because there are some things, like, I still get bad, like, it's awesome that we have number one overall pick, like, I cannot tell you how excited I am, but I still, like, with Kako, I felt hopeful. With this, I'm just like, I hope we don't pick the wrong guy? Sometimes, like, I can't believe I find myself thinking that. I never thought to myself when Kako was on the table, was like, it was always, I hope Kako falls, and I hope they don't take him first. Even though I know Jack Hughes is this great prospect, but I want a Capo Kako, as everybody knows at this point.
You just have the world's biggest man. I mean, I think we both have a very big man crush on Quentin Byfield. And, like,
I do.
If the Rangers had this is once again another draft where if the Rangers had the second pick, I think both of us would be like, oh, that's fine. We feel fine.
I would have been okay. I really would have been very okay. If
but again, this isn't – I wonder if we switch out Rasmus Dahlin and Alexis Lafreniere and
for that draft,
Lafreniere, yeah, like, well, yeah, say like Dahlin was available in this draft, but Lafreniere was available in that draft.
Mm-hmm.
Would the conversation have been like, Jesus Christ, this guy is going to be incredible. You are blessed to have the number one overall pick. Whereas in this class, everyone agrees. I've yet to hear anyone say a bad thing about Lafreniere, but it's almost like the focus is about how every team with a top 5 pick is going to get a great player. So we're not even that focused on Lafreniere, but I think we should be. I don't know. It's a working theory, Ryan. I'm prepared to be wrong.
I don't hate it. I really don't, because I haven't felt the way I wanted to about, like, yes, the initial night I was going crazy. Yes, the first week I was pumped. It really sets a tone for the Rangers team. Well, for the next couple years, like, that's how you do a rebuild. You wait, you get first and second overall in years when they're good prospects. Turns out that's pretty good for rebuilding. What a surprise. But at the same time, there is this section where it's like, well, what if Quentin Byfield's actually better than him? And, like, I don't...
Stop it.
I know he's not. Listen, everything I read, like, it's pretty much, this is Lafreniere's draft. I read one scout the other day that said, he's only done more to separate himself from the field over the last year. And I agree with that.
Byfield's not even going to go second. Sarcasm, sarcasm, sarcasm.
Okay, well, let's get to that right now, right? So in this mock draft, Tim Stützle goes second overall to the Los Angeles Kings. Now,
boy, are they going to overthink this? They're going to overthink this.
I keep seeing that Stützle might actually go number two.
Ryan, I'm at a point now where I'm going to be more surprised if he doesn't. You know what this is? You honestly, to me, what this is a classic, we're big NFL guys. Well, big, maybe not the word we should use.
I'm former.
We're sizable NFL guys. We used to do NFL draft podcasts. Like, that's where we were with the NFL.
Yep.
The Kings taking Stützle here, to me, is equivalent of the Lions just taking Jeff Okuda third instead of trading down.
Yeah.
Like,
you should have just traded
down. It's very clear that other players should go second, but it's just because the Kings have the pick, so the Kings are going to pick their guy, as opposed to the player who should go second overall.
It, to me, and I don't know a lot about Stützle. Like, I've watched some film or whatever very quickly on YouTube, but I follow these prospect guys who do a great job, and everyone I see is like, Byfield is the truth, man. And, like, Stützle's always 3 or 4, like, on everybody's list. Like, I never see him that low, right?
I've never seen Stützle outside the top 5. And I honestly think if you just flip Byfield and Stutzel, everyone would be like, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I don't think
that should be your top three.
Bat an eyelash. Nobody.
Yeah, I think everyone agrees that if the top three went Lafreniere, Byfield, Stutzel, they'd be like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. It's the fact that Stutzel is going to go before Byfield, and everyone's like, well, why? We're just going to let Ottawa have the world's greatest draft? Is that all we're going to do?
Yeah, and it's going to happen because this is crazy because I don't know how this is really going down here, but maybe we could break it out. Because so three and five, we'll skip number four for now because this draft has Detroit.
Well, the funny thing, instead of skipping it, I'm just going to say the funny thing about four is it's the same problem with two. I feel like there's a very clear player who should go four, but Detroit has just made up its mind that it's going Perfetti. Detroit was choosing Perfetti before we even knew who had the number one overall pick. There was no Detroit has been choosing Perfetti since the season ended.
It's bonkers. All right. I know you can learn a lot more about players as time goes on, right? But last year, this time, every single list I saw was Lafreniere number one, Byfield number two, or Lucas Raymond number two, and then switch with Byfield number three. That was it. But now this mock draft and many mock drafts and almost everything I read has the Ottawa Senators, a team which has been a dumpster fire, but yet had beat the New York Rangers to go to the Stanley Cup final, Eastern Conference Finals, to take the Pittsburgh Penguins to Game 7 overtime, not only 3 years ago, is going to get Quinton Byfield and Lucas Raymond, who were possibly the number two and overall, three overall best players in this draft. I have so much Quinton Byfield FOMO, it's unbelievable. There are two players I love in this draft outside of Lafreniere, and we will get to the second one, and you already know who it is. But the Byfield FOMO for me is gigantic. Like, I think this guy could truly be a special player in the league for so goddamn long.
Yeah, it's maddening that the Kings in Detroit are going to let the Senators own the draft on, October 6th, I think?
Yeah.
Like, the Rangers, everyone, we're going to get to a point, if we're not already there, that everyone's just bored about talking about how the Rangers are getting Lafreniere. Ottawa's going to walk away with this draft with Byfield and Raymond, and it's going to be all Ranger prospect Twitter is going to want to talk about. Honestly, it's going to be all we're going to talk about because, again, like you said, this is a scenario where, for whatever reason, it seems like there's a consensus top three in this draft, and two of the three are going third and fifth because the other two teams have just made decisions.
Stutzel, you can make a case. I've seen him so high up everywhere now at this point. But yes, I think those players, and I think it's clear, like, we're not prospect experts here. I definitely am on the MLB side, but not on the NHL side. But I do think I'm getting better at it. I do think Lucas Raymond, like, on most years, he might be number two overall for most draft years. Hell, there might be a year where he goes number one. Like the Nico year, I think Lucas Raymond goes one. Like, I don't think that's weird. I don't know.
Yeah, this is, again, to piggyback off the conversation we had about Lafreniere, this is once again such a weird draft that a player like Lucas Raymond has a chance that he doesn't even go top five. When he, in any other draft year, there's no way that player gets outside top four. And we're talking, again, a scenario in which this guy, for a variety of reasons, might not be a top five pick. It's just a bonkers draft here.
It is.
Bonkers.
This brings me to other players I don't know as much about, but Jamie Drysdale is going to Anaheim, New Jersey. He's picking Marco Rossi, who is someone that I've read a lot about over the past few, year and a half. Alexander Holtz, who is of... I believe he plays at Wisconsin. Is that correct? I think so.
No, that is incorrect.
Where does he play? Let's see.
He plays in the Swedish League.
Nope. I'm thinking of somebody totally different. But yes.
Perfetti, I think, was a Wisconsin commit. Could be wrong.
I don't know. I remember someone in Wisconsin.
Besides our boy Keandre, right. There was Cole Caulfield, is famously Wisconsin. But he was drafted a couple of years ago.
Right.
I don't know if there's a Wisconsin kid in this draft. I'm sure there is. Wisconsin's really good.
Yes, I'm sure.
Are you about to talk about you're about to talk about your real FOMO boy?
I am. So Minnesota has Michael Rousseau, our coworker here, has Minnesota taking Anton Lundell at number nine. And we've seen some drafts, and we've talked to some people that think that Lundell could fall as far as 15, 16. And some of the scouts talk about Lundell and say maybe number 9 is way too high. But like, this is a guy that's probably a surefire number 2 center in the league for the rest of his career, and he's going number 9. Do you know how rare it is to get one of those players at number 9?
But again, to your point,
it's early.
I love how Corey incorporated scouts' takes in this mock draft.
Yep.
Because every scout was saying how Lundell was the one player that went too high. You're talking. I want to emphasize what you said is true. This guy seems like a surefire number 2 center, and every scout Corey talked to was like, number 9 is too high for him in this draft.
That's insane. That's actually ridiculous. And this is a guy that, after this draft, I will follow 2 players. I will follow Byfield and I will follow Lundell. And I know these guys. Sometimes you have your guys. And Lundell is one of those players for me. Watching him, it's a player I like to watch. It just seems like he has a lot of potential and ability and could be good in the NHL in like a year and a half. Like, that's how much talent this guy has going into this year. Number 9 is ridiculous for him, and I was hoping he'd fall to like maybe 13, 14, and the Rangers could make some sort of move to move up, maybe using the 22nd pick to get him. But I just, having him number 9 here like kills my dreams that might even happen. Because Russo's plugged in, man. Like, and if he's picking him number 9, there's got to be something to that.
Right. I will err on the side of caution, because I don't think anyone knows more about what happens inside the Minnesota Wild front office HQ. The only person not on Wild payroll that knows as much as it's Michael Russo. So if Russo is saying this is where he thinks the Wild are going to go, I tend to believe that this is where the Wild are going to go. I will say, as much as we like Lundell, Russo's breaking the one rule we have when it comes to drafts, which is never draft for need. And this would very clearly be a need pick as opposed to a best player available pick, because a guy who we've talked his praises about more times in this podcast than I think anyone else in the history of the world, Marat takes Jake Sanderson 10 overall.
Yes.
And I think from everything I've read about this draft, it sounds like Sanderson's a guy that should go like top 7. So if the Jets get Sanderson at 10, I think they're thrilled.
Man, this draft is fucking awesome. I can't wait to watch this draft. It's really going to be so intriguing. Okay, let's take a quick break, and then I want to come back and talk about pick number 12, actually taken by Corey Pronman. So let's take a quick break, come right back, transition to break. Week 2 of football is in the books, and now is the time to review the tape and get ready for week 3. There is no better place to get on all the action than you know where, DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To add to the excitement of Week 3, DraftKings Sportsbook is bringing back their can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now, because you don't want to miss this. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users a chance to turn $1 into $100 when they bet on any team. Any team, that's right. You can place $1 bet on any team, and if that team wins, you can win a cool Benjamin. How can you pass that up? Don't worry. If football isn't for you, DraftKings is giving you, all the MMA fans, the same great offer this weekend for UFC 253. DraftKings is safe, reliable, secure, and making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code QUICK when you sign up. You can't get with this can't-miss offer, which I told you about just seconds ago. Pick any team during Week 3, bet $1 on them, and win a $100 if they win. That's $1 to win $100, and if you use promo code QUICK during sign-up for a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Promo code QUICK. Must be 21 year older. New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problems, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And today's podcast is brought to you by Roman. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off with or blame ourselves by saying things like I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like I had a long day at work, or sorry honey, I'm not feeling it, or hey, the Mets were on. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about. With a real healthcare professional who could prescribe you real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all for the comfort of the privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Get started is easy and simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/BlueShirtsBreakaway and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today and connect with a healthcare professional to take care of it. Go to Roman.com/BlueShirtsBreakaway today. If you're approved, you get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/BlueShirtsBreakaway. GetRoman.com/BlueShirtsBreakaway. Back to the show. And we're back. Okay, so number 12 is Seth Jarvis. Jarvis? Okay, whatever. And this is a player that yeah, I know.
Really, the one name you can't pronounce in this first round is a dude named Jarvis?
I'm an idiot.
You're incredible.
I really
am. There's a guy in this draft named Yaroslav Askarov, and you're going to be like, Seth, what's his last name?
Jarvis?
No, it's got to be a silent. I believe it's a soft J, a Jarvis.
Well, we had Corey on last week, and he did talk about Seth to us. And then, because we saw some mock drafts having Seth fall to the Rangers at 22. And now Corey's taking him at 12? Like, I should say, Corey is picking for the Florida GM, who at the time of this didn't really, you know, wasn't really there. So Corey took it for that GM. It's a situation where it's like, if this player could be taken by the Rangers, or we've seen the mock drafts, or that Jarvis could fall to the Rangers at 22, which is a pick we'll get to in a second here, to take him at 12, like, that just shows you how much talent really is in this draft, because this is a guy that at 12 is no joke. That's still so much talent there, but that guy could also fall to 22. I really don't know who to believe these days on prospects, and especially when it comes to this draft. Oh, I found a Wisconsin guy there, by the way, at 14. Dylan Holloway.
Yes. I don't know. I think from what... I mean, Corey is... He's really keyed in. I feel like if Corey is saying Seth Jarvis is going to go
12, I know!
That's... I wonder... You know what? I'll say this. I think Corey picked off his rankings than he did off what he thinks Florida will actually do there. We were just talking with Drew about how Jarvis might be a guy that's hanging around in the 20s for the Rangers.
Right.
That feels high. I'm just going to say that feels high.
It does feel high. There are a couple other picks on this that I think are particularly very interesting. So, Askarov is what you just said his name was. Zarasivian.
It's Jarvis.
Yes, Jarvis. That's exactly it. Askarov. Yaroslav Askarov. There you go. Is the first goalie to go off the board for Carolina Hurricanes. This is a player we were hoping would get taken in the top 10 when we thought the Rangers would be picking 9 or 10 when we hoped Lundell would fall to us. We no longer have to hope for that. Is this a shock that you think Carolina might swing for the fences with the goalie?
No, for a variety of reasons. One, everything everyone says about Askarov is like top tier, one of the best goalie draft prospects in recent history. So it seems like a slam dunk. He's going in the first round. He's doing Sorokin, Shesterkin type things in Russia. Everyone's very excited about him. And I think this is a combination where best player available and need kind of work out perfectly for Carolina. Carolina famously needs a long-term goalie. They don't have one in their system. If there's one clear weakness that we can identify with the Carolina Hurricanes moving forward, it is their position of goalie. I mean, for crying out loud, it's the same team that had to use a Zamboni driver to beat the Maple Leafs this year.
Good time.
I think if Askarov makes it to 13, I think he's going to be clearly the best player available. And it's hard to think of a team that just needs a goalie more than Carolina. Let me rephrase. A long-term goalie more. Carolina can figure out their goalie for next year, and it won't be Askarov. But they don't have a long-term answer. So I think they would very much like to solve that riddle.
A name I never heard of until we had Drew Way on this very OT last week. And he said Maverick Bork. And Maverick Bork,
our adopted son.
Yes, and Maverick Bork is now, a name I never really saw. Went number 15 overall to the Toronto Maple Leafs in this mock draft. And if I always think, hey, Kyle Dubas, he probably knows something, right? Like, he has to.
What did you say? What did you say his name is?
Did I say Kyle Dubas? Is it Dubas?
Dubas. What is your problem?
What is wrong with
you? Well, honestly, what is your problem? It's the easy names that frustrate me the most with you.
Oh, my God. I'm the worst.
Have you ever heard anyone call him Dubas?
I don't know why I said that. Sometimes I can't even hear myself.
You haven't even called him Dubas. You've said his name before, and you've never called him Dubas.
Kyle Dubas.
What's your deal?
I don't know. Something's wrong with me. That's not
it's one thing if it's a name you haven't seen before.
I've said it multiple times on this podcast.
Name Hendricks. Yeah, I don't expect you to say Hendrix LaPierre the first time.
Right.
That's a name I expect you to screw up.
Right.
But you've said his name before.
I've said it a lot.
Hundreds of times.
A lot. And I still fucking...
Unbelievable.
It's crazy.
You're incredible.
Oh, yeah.
You're truly... You. You're, buddy, you are one of a kind. I don't know if that's a good thing.
One of one right here, Ryan Mead. Yes. So Maverick Bourque going 15 overall. I just feel like if he's slotted in for a Leafs writer who's probably plugged in, again, there has to be something about this. I don't want to take... Listen, we're part of The Athletic... We think a lot of our beat writers here are super plugged in, have a really great knowledge of what the teams are looking at. And that's why I think this mock draft in particular is maybe the most telling, because the writers are making these picks and they might have some information or heard of some things from people they're very close with in the organizations that say, hey, Maverick Bourque might be on the table for the Toronto Maple Leafs at 15. And that says a lot, because that's a player that Drew was very, very, very high on. Especially hoping that he would fall to the Rangers in just a couple picks from now.
I will say this. I'm going to cite the scouts a lot more because Corey talked to them, and all of them were surprised with how high Bourque went.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. When's the last time? The NHL's weird, right? Because we're not even a year removed from when Moritz Seider went sixth, when everyone in the world was like, that was a guy that was going to go 12 to 15th or something like that. So it's not like the NHL draft hasn't been full of surprises before. As it's tough. I wonder how you feel on this.
Mm-hmm.
I've almost gotten to the point where personally I would be stunned if the Rangers actually make a pick at 22. So I've stopped caring about what the Rangers could actually do in terms of draft capital with the 22nd overall pick. Like, you could, everyone can throw any name they want at me. We've talked about Jan Mysak. We've talked about Maverick Bourque. We've talked about guys we don't want to see the Rangers draft. I would still be stunned if the Rangers make two picks in the first round.
I would really be too. Okay, so let's get to this right now. So Rick Carpinello has the Rangers taking Tyson Forrester, a right winger. And I don't, that's a player.
Shout out to Rick, a guy I've never even heard of.
Yeah, that's a player I would not really be interested in, just for literally no reason, to be honest. But the Rangers continue to do that, and they always pick people I have no interest in. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
I will say, like, I would have a hard time with the Rangers taking a right winger if Noel Gundler is still on the board.
Yes.
Right? That's a name we've heard about. That's name we've heard about.
What I was going to say.
That's a name we're very familiar with. Yeah. Like, whatever the Rangers want, again, I would be stunned if the Rangers even make a draft pick here. And Rick, quick point that out as well, because he said his first sentence is, I think there's a decent chance the Rangers trade this pick.
Which, again, I hate to keep saying this, but I think is telling. Like, I really do. Like, we've heard it from multiple people at this point. Multiple sources, mm-hmm. If we want to be really professional about
sauces.
Yes, that's how I say it, of course. Thank you for correcting myself to my own pronunciation. Multiple sauces have told us that the spaghetti is being stirred and that this first overall pick could be on the market. And I do think there is some sort of package. Excuse me? Oh, sorry.
What pick is going to be on the market?
Not the first overall pick. This first round pick could be on the market.
There you go. I mean, Kyle Dubas would have a lot of questions if the first overall pick was
Mr. Dubas with the sauces and the spaghetti. But yes.
The players, I will say this. Love Rick. I haven't heard the name Tyson Forrester mentioned in any of the Rangers talks before. It would be a really hard sell for us if the Rangers passed on Noel Gundler, Jan Mysak, who gets taken 26th, that we've heard a lot about.
Right.
For
me, those are the big two.
Yeah, those. If those two players are still on the board and for whatever reason the New York Rangers are still drafting at 22nd overall and they don't take one of those two players, I think that would be a fairly hard sell.
I do too. I just wonder what the Rangers are going – someone asked in the BSB five-star question section from Tuesday's episode, like, what would the Rangers trade for that with that 22nd overall pick? And I just am – I know they're going to try and find a center or a left-handed defenseman. And right now, left-handed defenseman, for us at least, we're kind of out of first loves. And I just don't know who the center is that they're going to look for. But I do think they might try and go big game hunting. But I don't know if there's big game hunt to be had right now. We've talked about Barkov. We talked about Eichel. We've talked about these players. And I just don't know if they're available. And the 22nd overall pick plus Kraftsov plus something else might not be enough to get the player that you think is going to send you to the next level.
Yeah, there are just so many holes the New York Rangers have to fill. And we know that the New York Rangers feel they're closer to being competitive than they are at this point last year. I think it was a little bit more surprising the Rangers traded the 20th overall pick last year than it would be if the Rangers traded 22 overall this year. But I would expect them to use 22 in the same way they used 20 last year. That pick needs to fill an immediate need. Who that immediate need is, we're yet to see. There's a lot that needs to be answered. We mentioned on the previous show that we recorded this week how you and I are both shopping for new love interests on left-hand side of defense. But, like, could that pick be used for Philip Deneau? I think we'd be big fans of that move. Could that pick be used? Jeremy Rutherford poo-pooed us very hard, but could that pick be used for Vince Dunn?
I think Deneau is a real possibility. I do. I think that Montreal could be interested for that pick.
Maybe. Well, I think we feel he's a real possibility because Philip Deneau sounds like he's not happy, right?
Yep.
So it's a lot easier to trade for players when it sounds like the player wants to get out. And it's a lot easier to make a leverage trade when a player makes it sound like he wants to get out, because now you're not convincing that team that player should leave. The person convincing the team that player should leave is that player. So it wouldn't be straight up, but the Rangers have a ton of darts. I think that's the one thing that we don't talk maybe enough about on this podcast. It's the amount of influx in legitimate prospects the Rangers have brought in, right? There are only six defensemen can play on a given night, but the New York Rangers currently have Keandre Miller, Nils Lundqvist, Zach Jones, Matt Robertson. I am forgetting like 17 other defensive prospects. Igor Rykov.
Yep.
They have so many prospects they could move for other pieces to address a clear weakness, not just the 22nd overall pick, but it helps that they have the 22nd overall pick. Would the Rangers be as willing to trade 22 overall if they didn't have number one? Maybe not, but guess what? They have number one. So who cares at 22, which is the crazy thing.
It's so weird because we would be, if it wasn't for number one overall, we'd be harping so goddamn hard on that 22nd overall pick.
Well, you know what the funny thing is? It's the exact, like, we didn't care about 20 last year because the Rangers had two. So we didn't have to worry about it. Look at that. The Rangers have another first-round pick. Hey, who gives a shit? We have Kapokako.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right. I think that's it. You should check out it. It's called the NHL Staff Mock Draft 2020. And it's by Corey Promen on The Athletic. Please check it out. We obviously talked a lot about what happens in the article, but there are really good write-ups from scouts. There are great write-ups from a lot of beat writers in The Athletic there. And you can go read up on Quentin Byfield and get the feel the FOMO that I feel, along with my good friend Antoine Lundell. All right, check out with Kyle Dubas. Dubas. And we'll be back next week with more Blue Shirts Breakaway. Follow me on O'Ryan Mead. Follow Greg at Blue Shirts Break. Love you guys. Bye.